Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text today is from our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 25, the parable of the talents, where the master said, "Take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." And today we speak of abundance. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you might say it's an odd time to speak about abundance. Because after all, how many of us at this time would say that we are living in abundance? Not many. Now, we might quip that, well, there's an abundance of sickness, or there's an abundance of time spent alone. But not many of us would say that we are living in abundance. Some have lost jobs or had their hours reduced. We haven't seen friends or family much. And in fact, it's been almost a year since we've seen my father-in-law, and I am certain that many of you who have relatives in nursing homes have a similar experience. We can look around the church. We can see the empty places where the people aren't. It doesn't look much like abundance, and not only that, but with all that, many of us know people who are experiencing sickness. We know those who've lost lives, and some are close to us. And while God promises abundance in his word, we don't see much abundance as we look around the world. We see loss. We see loneliness. We see a hard world. Now, it may be that the servants in the parable that Jesus told, who were left with talents, also saw loss. After all, their master had gone away. They were given talents. And they might have said, "I don't know how to use them." And they saw loss and lack. They faced a brave new world, and they faced it alone. At least it seems so. And yet, though they saw loss, though they saw lack, though perhaps they did not see abundance, two of them used the talents. Talents, a term for money, an amount of money, a large amount of money, that because of this parable we take to mean any ability that we have, a talent. And with that, with the two that used the talents they'd been given, even in the face of what the world might have called loss, one gained 5 more, another 2 more. They did not doubt their master's love or his ability or his trust. Instead, they used what they had. And they entered into the joy of their master. They had an abundance. More than talents, they had an abundance of joy and time and love from their master, even though they had an abundance even though they had nothing on their own. It all came from the master. It was a gift entrusted by the master. And yet they had plenty and abundance. The third servant, well, he did see loss. And not only the loss of a master, but he thought he lived in a hard world with a hard master. And after all, if you need evidence, the master had given him only 1 talent. He'd given 5 to another, 2 to another. And he took that to mean his master didn't trust him and that his master was just trying to hold him accountable. That his master wouldn't only take the talent back, but instead he'd take everything that was put in, even if it wasn't the master's. Everything the servant put in. And so rather than deal with the world and a hard master, he buried his talent. And when the master called him to account, he gave the talent back when that master returned. And what was the result of this servant? And perhaps we should say this was the hard and ungenerous servant. Even what had been given to him, the talent, was given instead to another. We might say that's the hard part because we say he only had the one. And when they talk about it in general, Jesus says, from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. But here's the truth. The servant wasn't using it anyways. It was buried in the ground. It was doing nobody, not even the servant, any good. He'd been given ample opportunity. He'd been entrusted by his master, and yet he'd done nothing. And then he'd spoken against the world and spoken against his master. That was what he used his opportunity to do. So what was the difference between these servants? And you might look at it and say, well, there's the obvious. They had different numbers of talents given to them. Or you could say they had different profits that they made from these talents. And those are differences, but they probably miss the important difference. It's not that some are servants and some are not, but some are in the household and some are not, because they are all servants in the household. All who are given talents to use. But the difference looks like it's in the trust in their master. Do they think he's a generous man who shares with the servants, who gives freely from his wealth? Or is he a hard man, a slave master, taking what's not his? And the two who trusted, the two who used what they were given by the master, who considered it an honor to be able to serve in the household, they used their talents effectively to the glory of their master. And the one who did not trust his master, who considered it a test, that his master was just itching for him to fail so he could judge him, who said that even if I succeed, I still don't get a profit out of it. It's still the master's. He didn't consider that the master's household was also his household. Or that servant who didn't trust, he buried his talent unused. The question before us today, as we see if we have an abundant master who gives freely or not, is what kind of master do we have? An abundant one who gives freely? A generous master? Or a hard one? And this year, if we look at the world, we might be tempted to think that we have a hard one, because there are a lot of issues in the world. But that is the way of unbelief. Even this year, in our time of lack, still look at what God has done and what he has given to us. He gives us his love. as members of his own family. He gives us good things. Clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all that I have. He richly and daily provides me with all I need to support this body and life. But more than that, he also gave his son, his very own son, to make us his own, to bring us into the household. He sends his spirit who calls us by the gospel, enlightens us with his gifts of word and sacrament, sanctifies and keeps us in the true faith. We still have that. And that is more than enough. It is an abundance. And all this he gives not because we worked hard, not because we made good use of everything, but instead he gives out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy. God doesn't need what we provide him, but we need to trust so that we do use what he gives us. He gives it out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy without any merit or worthiness in me. We give in the end, nothing to God. But because he trusts us, and we trust him. Because he loves us, we love him. And in love, we love those neighbors that he loves. We use what he gives us for their good. The world teaches us differently. Politicians teach us about what we lack. Madison Avenue teaches us what we lack and tells us to, like the old commercial said, go for the gusto that we need to get things what we want, to get what we crave, to get what we enjoy. We're tempted to spend our lives on our own pleasures instead of encouraging us with the gifts God gives. And if we give in to that temptation to spend our lives on our own pleasures, if we give in to that temptation to unbelief, if we give in to unbelief, we worry only about what we can give gain for ourselves. And when we do that, we lose Christ. And when we lose Christ, we lose everything. Even the good gifts God gives us, they do no good. They just testify against us. They become the judgment. The very things that were meant for our good become the judgment of God against us. Just as the talent that the man failed to use spoke against him and showed him to be a worthless servant. And the good things are replaced by judgment, and they are taken away. And we're left with judgment. And the day of the Lord, the good and great day of the Lord, where he reveals himself to show our salvation for those who do not believe, who trust instead in themselves. It is a day of judgment. Our God has done better by us. God with the Spirit. He gives us all that we have. We have an abundance even this year because we still have his word. We still have life. We still have his sacraments. We still can testify to what God has done, even if it's at a distance this year. And what we hold on to only by faith as God gives it to us today, he promises when he returns that we'll get more good things. That faith will be replaced by sight, that we will see him with our own eyes, mine and not another's. The master comes back and adds glory upon glory, even his own presence in the flesh. To those who have, we get a foretaste of it at the feast. We will see it even more and receive it even more when he comes back at the final marriage feast of the Lamb, the eternal one. For all who believe, for all who trust, God has given us gifts. Jesus, word and sacrament, faith in those. And yes, money and possessions and time and talents. And the faith and the salvation that he gives, that's to all who believe. All who get to enter into the joy of their master. And yeah, there are different amounts of other things, but in the end, it is all the Lord's of the other gifts, the earthly gifts. Those riches that he's added to his undeserved grace. And all that he's given, it's still his. But he's given it to us to use. So who is our master? The one who gives in abundance or the hard man who does not? Let us remember our God gives to us abundantly. Let us praise his name by using the gifts he gives to glorify God and to serve our neighbor. Even at this time when the world tells us we lack, our God has given us in abundance. Let us use what God gives to serve him and serve our neighbor. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you always. Amen.